Early in 1945, Priscilla Green Duffield had a baby, and Oppenheimer suddenly needed a new secretary. Groves offered him in turn several seasoned secretaries, but Oppenheimer rejected them all, until one day he told Groves that he wanted Anne T. Wilson, a pretty blonde, blue-eyed 20-year-old whom he had met in Groves' office in Washington. "He stopped at my desk, which was right outside the general's door, and we made conversation," Wilson said of Oppenheimer. "I was just practically dumbstruck because here was this legendary character, and part of his legend was that all women fell on their faces in front of him." Flattered, Wilson agreed to move out to Los Alamos. Before she went, however, John Lansdale, Groves' counterintelligence chief, approached her with an offer. He would pay her $200 a month if she sent him just one letter each month reporting on what she saw in Oppenheimer's office. Shocked, Wilson flatly refused. "I told him," she later said, "Lansdale, I want you just to pretend you never even mentioned such a thing to me." Groves had assured her, she said, that once she moved out to Los Alamos, her loyalties were to be to Oppenheimer. But, perhaps not surprisingly, she learned after the war that Groves had ordered that she be placed under surveillance whenever she left Los Alamos. After working in his office, he believed, Anne Wilson knew too much to be left unwatched. Upon arriving in Los Alamos, Wilson learned that Oppenheimer was sick in bed with chickenpox, accompanied by a 104-degree fever. "Our thin, ascetic director," wrote the wife of another physicist, "looked like a 15th-century portrait of a saint with his fever-stricken eyes peering out from a face checkered with red patches and covered by a straggling beard." Soon after he recovered, Wilson was invited over to the Oppenheimer home for drinks. Her host served her one, and then another, of his famous martinis, and since she was not yet acclimated to the altitude, the powerful concoction quickly went to her head. Wilson remembered having to be escorted back to her room in the nurse's quarters. Anne Wilson was fascinated by her charismatic new boss and deeply admired him. But at 20, she was not attracted romantically to Oppenheimer, a married man twice her age in 1945. Still, Anne was a beautiful young woman, smart and sassy, and people began to talk on the Hill about the director's new secretary. Several weeks after her arrival, Anne began receiving a single rose in a vase, delivered every 3 days from a florist in Santa Fe. The mysterious roses came without a card. "I was totally baffled, so I went around in my childlike way saying, 'I've got a secret lover. Who is sending all these gorgeous roses?' I never found out. But finally, one person said to me, 'There is only one person who would do that, and that's Robert.' Well, I said it's ridiculous." As might happen in any small town, rumors soon began circulating that Oppenheimer was having an affair with Wilson. She said it never happened. "I have to tell you that I was too young to appreciate him. Maybe I thought a 40-year-old man was ancient." Inevitably, Kitty heard the rumors, and one day she confronted Wilson and asked her point blank if she had designs on Robert. Annie was thunderstruck. "She could not have misread my astonishment," Wilson recalled. In the years that followed, Anne got married, Kitty relaxed, and an enduring friendship developed between the two women. If Robert was attracted to Anne, the anonymous single red rose was a subtle gesture not out of character. He was not the kind of man who initiated sexual conquests. As Wilson herself observed, women gravitated to Oppenheimer. "He really was a man of women," Wilson said. "I could see that, and I heard plenty of that." But at the same time, the man himself was still painfully shy and even unworldly. "He was enormously empathetic," Wilson said. "This was, I think, the secret of his attraction for women. I mean, it felt almost that he could read their minds. Many women have said this to me. Women at Los Alamos who were pregnant could say, 'The only one who would understand was Robert.' He had a really almost saintly empathy for people." And if he was attracted to other women, he was still devoted to his marriage. They were terribly close, Hempelman said of Kitty and Robert. He would come home in the evenings whenever he could. I think she was proud of him, but I think she would have liked to have been more in the center of things.